Welcome to A Senior Moment, a show for and about seniors and the people who care for them. I'm Kate Brister, sitting in for Joanne Rideout this morning. Today's show is all about senior travels, seniors on the move. Joining me in the studio today are Rex and Nancy Anderson. They travel extensively with the Rhodes Scholar Program. And Leslie Morgan, she is with Clatsop Community College, and she's going to be talking to us today about the Conference on Extraordinary Living, and they are joined by Alan Batchelder. He and his wife Nancy Lee are intrepid travelers, and he's going to talk to us today about traveling by train. Everyone, welcome. Say hello.
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 So traveling at any age can be a broadening experience and sometimes a life-changing one, and there are just about as many ways to travel as there are places in the world to go. But while it's easier than ever to get from here to there, travel does take some planning, particularly for seniors who may require extra assistance. So today we're going to talk about things seniors and travel companions need to know when making their travel plans, and we'll be talking about the Conference on Extraordinary Living 2016. So I would like to start with you, Rex and Nancy. What is important to you about traveling?
I think we are adventurous, but we also like to learn as we travel. So we don't travel so much for luxurious places and resorts, mostly because we can't afford it. But we really like to get a learning experience out of our travels.
And Elder Hostel, which is now called Rhodes Scholar, kind of fits that bill. It really does for us.
So talk to us a little bit about the Rhodes Scholar program.
Well, Rhodes Scholar has a large area of coverage, not only in the States. There's a Rhodes Scholar program in every state in the United States and in 100 countries. So it pretty well covers everything you'd want to do. They run from a few days, maybe a weekend, to several weeks, depending on what you want to do. And also, they kind of divide it up as to the activity. It starts off with a very easy group. Then it goes all the way up to most challenging. And we've given up the most challenging quite some time ago.
What would be an example of a challenging activity?
I think maybe downhill skiing would be one. Mm-hmm.
Well, that would do it. That would be.
And there are also some hikes that are a little beyond what we're capable of doing now. When we first began this, we were quite a bit younger, and we went on several that were hiking expeditions. So that changes, and it's up to you. And they do whitewater rafting, all kinds of physical adventures. And I think appealing to probably the younger group, except for a few intrepid oldsters that are still physically able to do some of those activities.
Well, Nancy, I really liked what you said about the opportunities to learn with Rhodes Scholar, and those seem to be the kind of trips and activities that attract you. Can you tell us some of your favorites that you've gone on?
Yeah, absolutely. That really is. If you travel on your own, you can see all the sites that Rhodes Scholar takes you to. You can do those, all of those things, but you don't get contact with experts in the field that can illuminate more the history sometimes, or the sightseeing, things that you want to do, or even subjects that aren't even related to the area. But I think the one of the most extraordinary ones we went on was in Costa Rica, and we traveled with a native, a guide, and he was not only very interesting, but he knew the territory. So he'd take us in places that you would not ordinarily be able to go to. Another one was a road trip up to Prudhoe Bay, flying into Alaska, and they took us in a trapper's cabin. I mean, you know, with the dead things hanging on the walls, and I mean, a real experience. And we also at that one got to meet some of the a woman sledder who had run the Kandiri, and we got to pet her dogs, and just very personal things that you might not do if you were on your own traveling.
So these can be larger groups. About how? What size are these groups that you go with?
I think they run somewhere between 25 and 30 usually. That's about the average number.
Well, now, quickly tell us a little bit about what you do to kind of prepare for these trips in terms of special preparations, arrangements that you need to make. Is this done through Rhodes Scholar for you, or do you find yourself having to make a lot of personal arrangements for yourselves in your travel?
Well, usually a Rhodes Scholar for us is involved with something we want to do. That is, if we're... if I want to visit my sister, who is down in Phoenix, Arizona, there's a Rhodes Scholar down in Phoenix, Arizona, that we can take. I don't want to spend too much time with my sister. So it's kind of nice to have a Rhodes Scholar to go to.
We've done that several times. If we have a destination where we're either a family reunion sometimes or a conference of some kind, and we tie it in with an elder hostel, and maybe one of us, if it's a conference, I went to several that I had to fly into different areas, and we thought, as long as I'm going to be there, Rex could join me in a few days, and we will take this Elder Hostel program, or Rhodes Scholar, I guess we call that now.
Excuse me, you spell that with an H or R-O-A-D-S?
Thank you for clarifying that. It's R-O-A-D. Right. We are not the R-H capable people.
And this is Alan Batchelder. Alan, I was actually just going to turn to you for a second. You're quite an intrepid traveler as well, and you're here to talk to us a little bit this morning about your experience traveling on trains.
Well, we certainly have lots of that. We like traveling on trains because there's not much we have to do to enjoy the ride. I don't have to drive. Nancy Lee doesn't have to watch me drive. We always take sleeping accommodations. I mean, we pay for sleeping accommodations because they call that first class, which wasn't what appealed to us. What we liked was the fact that room and board are what we're getting. The meals are free in the diner. I think the best thing about it is that we're not at home dealing either with the mundane or the difficult or the awkward or answering the telephone. We're just going together, talking or not talking, reading or not reading, enjoying the scenery. We do a lot of that, taking pictures, meeting people we would not think of knowing under other conditions. Frequently, we end up becoming quite attached to total strangers within about half an hour because everybody is kind of in a different state when you're traveling on the train. You just about have to be. Well, they...
We do both. You asked about preparation ahead of time. When you sign up for a Rhodes Scholar trip, you are sent a booklet or pamphlet, literature that explains the program. When you do a Rhodes Scholar trip, your only responsibility is to get to the destination. Once you arrive at that destination, and if there are flight arrangements that should have to be made, they'll help you with that, but you have to pay for that. But once you get there, everything is taken care of. Entertainment programs, lots of times they'll have a musician in the evening or some entertainment. The educational programs during the day, the field trips, the food. There is no tipping at all. Rhodes Scholar makes that very clear that that's included in your fee. So you can go with $10 in your pocket and be just fine. The only thing that they don't provide all the time, although often they do have a wine reception. But if you need booze on your trip, you have to do that on your own or hope that they'll have a wine reception for you.
A lot of great ideas. And speaking of one incredible destination that doesn't take a lot of preparation and a lot of expense is the upcoming Conference on Extraordinary Living. that's coming up on September 9th. And joining us this morning to talk about the conference is Leslie Morgan. Leslie, welcome. We're looking forward to hearing about this. And also, Alan and Nancy Lee and Rex and Nancy are going to be doing breakout sessions. So we've got lots to talk about this morning. Welcome. Tell us about the Conference on Extraordinary Living 2016.
Well, the Conference on Extraordinary Living is happening very soon. It's in the next 2 weeks, and it is on Saturday, September 10th. It's from 8:30 to 4, and it's at the Clatsop Community College up in the Columbia Hall. So it's easy to get to. It's actually, there is no fee involved whatsoever. We do need, it would be nice if you could sign up earlier, and you can do that by calling the college and asking for Evie, and she will sign you up. And at that point, you are also able to choose if there's a certain breakout session that you would like to attend. This year, we're actually going to highlight the national parks because it's their 100-year anniversary. So our keynote speaker is going to be Jill Harding, and she's from Lewis and Clark National Historical Park. And she'll be speaking and telling us some of the highlights. But also, one of the breakout sessions is also going to talk a lot about hiking in this area. So if you've wanted to do something like that and just haven't known where to go or who to ask, there'll be representatives from the Angora Club and then also from a number of different hiking facilities. So that's one of the breakout sessions. We have some new breakout sessions this year, in addition to some of the popular ones that we've had in the past. So we've got some on estate planning. We've also have frauds and scams. There's going to be a conversation on the new book out by AARP called Disrupt Aging, which should be very informative. We have posture analysis and how yoga can help your balance. Then we have one also on mindfulness and being creative as to how you manage your stress level, and some of that includes your eating habits. And then we also have Seniors on the Move, and that's where Rex and Nancy and Alan come in because they'll be teaching or talking about that. So there's going to be three different sessions, and in those sessions there'll be six different places that you can choose to go and attend and to learn more information. However, if there's one you really like to go to and you missed it, we'll also have an agenda available for each different class so that you can actually pick that up and be able to be semi-informed as to it. Now, the best part about this is that it is absolutely free. It includes lunch, and lunch is going to be from the North Coast Food Web, so it will be delicious. And then also there will be free flu shots offered. So please plan to attend. We would ask for maybe a $10 donation, but it's not necessary. And that is because I'd like to thank our sponsors. And our sponsors are the Clatsop Community College, Columbia Memorial Hospital, Northwest Senior Disability Services, Encore, and Providence Seaside Hospital.
And this is being held here at Clatsop Community College, but it is for seniors in our broadcast region, both sides of the river, is it not? You really want to encourage those people from Washington to come across.
Definitely.
The bridge.
Yes, it's for everyone in the area, and it's actually, it can be anyone 55 or older, or anyone who
well,
might
that's
be interested
wonderful.
In the subjects. Yes.
So seniors and the people who care about you are going
yes.
to want to come and attend this conference today. So these the breakout sessions that you've just described are just the ones that are new this year. As I look at the list, there are almost 20 of these topics and discussions that your people can attend all through the day. It's going to be very exciting. I'd like to go back to the new ones that are going to have to do with senior travel and senior travel preparation. Talk to us. I'm a caregiver, my father, for example, who's in his mid-80s, wants to take a trip, but perhaps he's got some particular maybe some health considerations. Should I go with a tour like Rhodes Scholar? Should I go with a tour travel agent? Can you give me a little bit of an ABC on getting my father out the door and on a great vacation? And you want to take that volley?
Rhodes Scholar, as Rex mentioned, has about five different categories. It starts with easy. So if he is pretty sedentary, all of those activities will be sitting down, listening to lectures or musical programs, and the field trips, they're very careful about people who may be wheelchair bound or have physical disabilities. As you progress through this, you have to be able to walk, I think, is it up to a mile a day if you take the moderate program? It goes from easy to moderate to very challenging. So when you get a catalog or go online and look at the selections, you need to look at the level of activity that you're comfortable with. And that, when you get the information from Rhodes Scholar, when you register, you will be able to fill out a form that tells them exactly if you had specific food requirements or if you need ADA accessibility. That is taken into consideration.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Rhodes Scholar also is celebrating the National Parks 100th birthday. A lot of all the national parks are going to be part of the program on Rhodes Scholar.
Very, very fun. Well, Alan, do you and Nancy Lee, do you arrange your own trips? Do you travel with groups particularly?
No, I don't. Excuse me. I don't know that we've ever traveled with a group. Not that we're opposed to it, but our travel tends to be very spontaneous. Excuse me. I think we got started some years ago when Nancy Lee was reading something, and she looked up from her reading, and she said, "We're going to Houston." And I said, "What?" "We're going to Houston." Well, I said, "What's that about?" She says, "This is the last time we'll have an opportunity to be in the company of those Chinese warriors that were dug out of the ground." And I said, "Oh, okay." She said, "So get on it."
Had you ever taken just a trip kind of like that before?
Well, we have traveled by train, but this was the first one that was totally spontaneous and off the wall. So I pulled out my dated the booklet that has all of the trains in it. I've lost the noun. It contains all of the destinations that Amtrak serves. Mm-hmm. It also has a nice map in the front of it. Do you know what they call that thing?
The itinerary, the train
it's
schedule?
It's not the itinerary necessarily, but it's the booklet that they have. Anyway, we looked in that, and I called Amtrak, which is the way to begin. I called Amtrak. What the heck? I tell you, I'm having a little trouble with remembering how you do that. It's 1-800-USA-RAIL, R-A-I-L. And I don't know what the numbers are, but you called that number.
I thought that was pretty good.
And there's a very pleasant voice that answers, and her name is Julie. And she's probably the best automated voice around.
Exactly.
And she'll ask how to help, and you answer her questions, and she sends you end up with an agent. You tell the agent where you want to go and when, and the agent will tell you what's available, and you tell her what accommodations you want, her or him. They're very helpful that way, and you can put it on a credit card.
So they're helpful there at the train station. What advice would you give to your fellow travelers about the kind of preparations and things you want to be thinking about maybe before you even make that call?
Well, the first thing you want to think about is whether you want to ride on a train. The second thing is whether a train will take you anywhere near the destination you have in mind. And the third thing is to either go to a travel agent or call Amtrak. And an agent there will help you know what it is you need to know.
Mm-hmm. You know, we have family that live in San Jose, and I thought about what Alan had just said, and we checked with Amtrak, and we found out that there's a train that leaves Portland at, somewhere around 3 in the afternoon. It's called the Starlight, I think, and it arrives in San Jose the next morning at 10. It's just a beautiful trip. Have a nice night, and you forget that the train just goes night and day. It doesn't stop anywhere, except if, and all of a sudden, you're next morning, you're in San Jose. On the way back, it's just about as nice, only it goes during the daytime. So you see this area that you didn't see at night on the way down. So it's a beautiful trip. And if you look at some of the things that places that Amtrak goes, you might find, just like we did, that beautiful trip down to, as we did, San Jose.
So that trip goes from Seattle to excuse me.
I guess it goes all the way to Los Angeles.
Yes.
Yeah.
Actually, you can begin it in Vancouver, B.C.
Oh, is that right?
No, you can make the connection with the Coast Starlight.
Yeah.
And the timing is wonderful on that, because it gets to Klamath Falls in the late afternoon and gets to Sacramento about 6:30 in the morning and gets to Los Angeles late in the evening, a little too late to make connections with another train, but it's a wonderful trip. And it goes along the coast. The Coast Starlight is one of the princesses of the fleet.
Right.
But as for getting where you want to go, a call to Amtrak will put you in touch with someone who will help you know what trains are available and costs and what accommodations are there. We recommend going with sleeping accommodations because... Well, obviously, you get to sleep in a bed, a comfortable bed that somebody else makes up for you and puts away when you get out of it. It's possible to have your meals brought to you in your sleeper. It's called first-class accommodation because it comes with the meals. And you can go to the diner and order your meal and leave a tip, but that's all about the out-of-pocket expense.
Well.
Or you can ask the sleeping car attendant to bring it to you. And the accommodations are several. There's a basic roomette, which can sleep one or two people in separate accommodations in the same small room. Has very comfortable seats. It's next to a window. And there are a number of roomettes on the second floor. There are fewer, but on the ground floor, it's not even rail floor, but it's right where you get when you get on the train.
Yeah.
The first level you reach is that level, and there are roomettes there. There are also special rooms for families or people with disability need special accommodations. It's a room that's larger. It comes with its own toilet, and it's not particularly expensive.
That just sounds excellent. Many ways to live life to the fullest, which actually is the theme of the conference on extraordinary living. Leslie, I want to get back to you. This absolutely, the travel portion of our conference does sound like it's going to be very informative, but we've got other things that we're going to be talking about that day that are our informational offerings at the conference as well, besides your terrific keynote speaker, Jill Harding, talking about the National Historical Park. You've been working with the conference. This is the third year of the conference, am I correct?
Yes, correct. Yes.
And is this your first year kind of working with it as an organizer?
Yes, this is my first year, although I did attend last year. And so we've taken some of the highlights. We have Angela Sidlow coming, and she's going to be talking about advocating for your own health. And Angela is right here in the area and always does a great job on some of the newer trends of things that are going on. So that should be very informative. And then we'll also be doing a lot of information on activities and events and things that are going around in the community so that you can actually either attend or you can volunteer. Mm-hmm. And we'll tell you how to do that. So some of those types of things will be easily accessible to you so that you'll be able to come away with just lots of fun ideas of things to do in your extraordinary living.
I'll bet there are a lot of good things to do that we don't really know, even this wonderful small area where we live that's so beautiful. But one of the difficulties about getting to all these things sometimes is the wherewithal of getting back and forth and across the bridge and on a bus or in a car. Can we address some of those issues just for a moment about traveling for perhaps on a small scale? For example, getting our seniors on the Washington side over here to attend this great conference, getting our Oregon seniors over there to see some of the wonderful natural beauty and the natural parks on Washington side. Leslie, you want to talk about that for us for just a sec?
Well, we are working, and yes, there will be like some scheduling and some things that some information that is available, because we do realize that one of the main issues in senior living is basically your transportation. And so we will be addressing that. We will have some schedules, and there will be some people there that would be able to kind of walk everyone through that. Unfortunately, they'd have to get to the conference first in order to get that information. Mm-hmm. But we will have some of those types of things available.
So we just have a minute or two left in the show, and I want to thank all of you for coming. Rex and Nancy Anderson, please talk to us a little bit about coming out to the conference and about your breakout session.
Well, we're going to, of course, be talking about Rhodes Scholar, and it's a kind of their motto is the joy of learning. And I never really thought too much about that until I realized that one time when I was in college, there were some guys in the back of this one of these big rooms that you have where you're taking a course, and the professor's way down there, and he's talking to this great big group. And there were some guys in the back that weren't really doing much. They weren't taking notes. They weren't doing anything. And I asked the guy next to me, what are they doing? And they said, well, they're auditing the course. And I'm thinking, well, gee, I would like to audit the course. And that's kind of like Rhodes Scholar is, because there's no tests, there's no assignments, there's no grades. You just sit there and you learn. And I like that about Rhodes Scholar.
You just sit there and you learn. That sounds pretty good. What's the good word for us?
Well, encore is the good word.
Encore.
It was mentioned earlier. That's an acronym. ENCORE stands for Exploring New Concepts of Retirement Education. And it's especially available to people who are old enough to enjoy getting new information about things that they perhaps didn't know were available.
Yeah.
And there's all kinds of opportunities for activities, events, things to go to. Encore is probably one of the best things that is happening in Clatsop County.
And we thank Encore for being one of the sponsors of the Conference on Extraordinary Living. Leslie, leave us with a good word.
The word is to come out, enjoy yourself, and develop more things in your life that make you have an extraordinary living. So that's on Saturday, September 10th at the college, and it's from 8:30 in the morning until 4.
And you've been listening to A Senior Moment, the show for and about seniors. I'm Kate Brister. If you missed any part or want to hear the show again, it's available as a podcast on our website at coastradio.org. Thanks to our guests today, and thank you for listening. A Senior Moment is a production of Coast Community Radio.